Everybody, hi, welcome. Welcome to the George Mossy Show. I'm George Mossy. We're about to be talking Happily Ever After After Show. There's been a lot going on this week. So my co-host Dee Dee has been out of town for the last week. She's not back yet. That's why she's not here. We miss her, but she's coming back. And if you guys don't know, if you weren't following along, my co-host, Kara, there's been a emergency fire in her area, and she's been without power for the last week. She's been without internet. She hasn't been evacuated, so we're very happy for you, for the both of them, you know, for what's going on in that area. My co-host Gina is here. We're gonna get into hi.
Hi.
Howdy.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. It's been stormy and rainy here, but like I was talking about earlier, there's other people who are going through a lot more serious stuff than me. So I'm good. I can't complain. So I want to get into this. Hi. Oh, you're from Colorado, happy dog. Is it cold there? No, wait, it's summertime. No, it's not cold there. I want to jump into this episode 16 of Happily Ever After, right? We got Patrick and Thais, Emily and Kobe's, the finished part of their wedding. We got Rob and Sophie separately because he was in Kansas City. Sophie was still in Austin. And I want to get into Angela and Michael because he's here basically in these episodes. So there's a lot that we need to unpack, right? So should we start off with Gino and Jasmine? Because I want to talk about this pageant, right? And I know you, this is a subject that you really, really enjoy, right? This pageant subject, right?
I just don't know why I took that rabbit hole and just went with it. So the fact that they didn't, it was in a hotel room, conference room.
And did you also notice that it looked like they didn't use the entire conference room? It kind of looked like they like half-ended it off because the stage was so close to the audience where everybody was. It kind of looked fake, right? Like it kind of looked like this wasn't the legitimate pageant because they would have like a section of the pageant and then they would break like 5 minutes later. Like I'm not a expert on pageants, right? Like I can't say that I've even been to one, but what we were watching tonight as a legitimate pageant, what were your thoughts? How do you feel about that being legit?
It's not legit. Come on now. Like the MCs didn't even have their full name on there where you can eat. Like I had to go back and rewind to see if I can find them. MC's full name on it so then I can do a Google search on it. They didn't even have the MC's full name on it. Like,
did you notice that the founder, she was wearing the same dress at the pageant that she was wearing when Jasmine met her for the workshop? Twitter noticed, and they put the two shots up. Now, one thing I know about women and beauty pageants and fashion is that a woman who has won a beauty pageant isn't gonna wear the same dress twice on national TV, right? Like I know for a fact that's not legitimate. So I'm beginning to wonder, did they film all of this pageant stuff in one day? You know, like it's making my mind go different places, right? Because I was like, if it wasn't real and they were staging it, they probably didn't want to spend a week on location for something that wasn't legit. So I was like, what if they filmed all of these pageant scenes in one day?
I'm saying like, TLC just hired a whole bunch of actors or got people from this hotel and just been like, we'll give you $50 if you make an appearance. And just like, all you have to do is sit here and clap.
It was hard for me to follow along. You know, like I know that I can't sit here and pretend that all reality TV is real. I can't pretend that I know, you know, that things aren't staged. But at this point, right, like when we were watching this, I was like, this is a hard sell. You know, for me, I was like, I just don't see, you know, a pageant with $1,200 entrance fee that they're sitting here. Hey, TJ, they're sitting here in this tiny little hotel conference room, like half of the hotel conference room, right? And I'm like, all these women paid all this money to be a part of this pageant. And it just didn't seem like it wasn't realistic to me, right? Like it just wasn't.
John Casablanca. Blanca modeling that you would see, like those modeling agencies that you would see in like your malls or whatnot. It just gives me those vibes, like those scam vibes.
Oh my God, I remember those mall open calls. I remember that. Those were such a scam, right? Every single person who went to that open call was a model, right? Remember, like if you had money in your pocket, that day, you were being represented by whoever that mall agency was, and you were being promised JCPenney ads in your future, right? Like, that was the whole scam. Yep. Like, they're like, oh, I'm gonna put you in a JCPenney ad. Like, that was a goal, first of all, right? Like, that was really a goal for people. Like, I definitely don't believe that, but like, I wanna jump into Gino being a talent coach, because Jasmine basically wants to fire him as her Kris Jenner coach, right? Because he's kind of negative. And, you know, I did see that he was really negative. One thing I know about women is you don't ever want to tell a woman that other women are doing better than them when you're married to this woman, right? Like, you kind of want to make it as though, like, kind of like how Angela wants with Michael, you have to make her feel like she's the only woman that exists on the planet, right? Like, don't ever make it as though you like something another woman is doing more than she is. And he kept attacking her posture, her walking, her smiling. He was attacking a lot of her participation in this pageant. Notice my pageant. And how do you feel about a husband being your manager? Because we've watched this in the industry before, and a lot of times, remember Ike and Tina? Like, a lot of times, this situation does not end well. So how do you feel about, like, if you were modeling or if you were a singer or an actress, would you want your significant other in charge of your career?
Absolutely not. And especially Gino, where does he go off, like, being this, like, quote unquote manager and being like, yeah, you attended these pageants in like Michigan, but at the same time, where do you go off criticizing this person? You don't even know what a camel toe is. How would you know how to vote or how to like critique somebody when that it's not even your expertise, right?
You can't be a judge. Pageant. Yeah. Yeah, you can't be a judge or a manager in something you don't know anything about. Like, if somebody was to call me and say, we want you to be a judge at a pageant, and I'd be like, I don't know if I'm qualified to do that, right? Like, because these are legitimate pageants. There's literal rules and regulations and things that they follow. And there's key points that the women are supposed to be. I don't know anything about that. So I want to talk about a little bit more about the contestant list. Because remember, we're talking about the contestant list for the 2023 Miss International pageant for Florida, and Jasmine's name wasn't on it. So I wanted to get some of your insight on, why do you think Jasmine wasn't listed as a contestant? Is it possible that she could have been a part of it but then disqualified after? Or do you think it's possible that this just wasn't a real pageant? Like, what do you think is going on?
I think A, it wasn't a real pageant. B, they took the money and ran, because the original one that I had sent you, that link that I had sent you or whatnot, under the rules and regulations, it basically said you can't do anything that's rated R, basically. I'm going to put it
right.
Instagram, like, friendly. You can't do anything that's rated R, have this, have that, these qualifications and whatnot. But like I said, it's a fake pageant from the start. It's a fake pageant till the end. Just like, and that's the thing, right? So it's a fake disqualification or whatnot. Like, it's basically a fake scam. And yeah, that's how basically I feel about it, because she wasn't on the list. She wasn't on the list prior.
Do you think so? There was a legit pageant that took place, and she wasn't in it? Or do you think this is all just BS?
This is all just BS.
Yeah.
Like, TLC, I mean, for it. Like, you would think it would be like any pageant or anything like that, other than like toddlers and tiaras and whatnot. Like, they're not in hotel room conferences. Any big event such as that would take actually place in a theater of some sort of nature. Yeah. And you wouldn't have all the girls, because if you see it on like Miss America or whatnot, if you see in the background, all these girls are waiting in this small little hunch little like area. There's a backstage area where you're changing and getting ready and taking off clothes. And just like, you're not like looking at the other, like, if you're still in your bikini or whatnot, right? So
it's reminded me of like if a group of high school people put together a pageant, right? Like, it had a very low, a very low quality value. No offense to high school kids, you know, they're just learning, they're not professionals. And you know, when they're like, I was class president in high school, and we had to put on like the prom and, you know, the different things or whatever. And not prom, we didn't have prom, but like we had to do like certain events. And let's just say I didn't plan good events because I was a child and I was stupid and I didn't know what I was doing. So like we would plan things and it wouldn't go well. And I felt like that's kind of like what happened. Why was there one room no backstage, like you said, no makeup artists, no, like, it was just, it wasn't enough realistic aspects to show that this was real. And it's kind of sad because this is a multi-million dollar network, right? TLC, Sharp, these entertainment companies, they have lots of money. So there's no reason why, if they're going to try to sell us BS, they could have sold us a more upgraded version of BS, right?
Agreed.
Right? Okay, so...
Like, come on. We're not all dumb. Come on.
So she wants to disinvite him to the pageant and the practices, if that's even a real thing. Like, I don't know what we're watching anymore, because I don't know if this is even a real thing. We don't even know if they're still together. There's, like, rumors going around they're not even still together. So there's a lot of stuff going on with that. But I want to talk about Rob and Sophie, because Rob and Sophie have not been together for so long that they are now filming separate scenes. So Rob actually was on a trip to Kansas City, back home where he's from, by himself without his wife, quotation marks. And Sophie was back in Austin with her girlfriend, Kay. And they were both going out, you know, to clubs and partying. It's Rob's birthday. And I want to get into, hey, Judy, I want to get into this BS storyline that the producers were trying to sell us, that these strippers were trying to come on to Rob. Like, it's very obvious that they went to the club and the producer slid her a $100 bill and said, hey, act like you really want to jump this dude's bones, right? Like, I've really got the vibe. Because he's like,
same thing. Like, why? He's not that great looking. Like, you want your 2 seconds of fame. You want your tips. That's how you make your money. And like, you take it and go. No, you cannot tell me. Like, you just want the 2 seconds of fame. And that was it, right? I mean,
yeah, Rob, he's not ugly, right? Like, let's be real. He's not ugly. But the way that she was throwing herself at him, it was very obvious that there was a pre-conversation from somebody behind the camera. Like, hey, this guy's married. You should make him do something that his wife wouldn't approve of, because we need something to happen at this shoot, right? Like, yeah. It was definitely a conversation, and she was definitely earning her, I don't know, 50, 100, 200, whatever they slid her, right? She was earning it because she's like, oh, I just want to take this guy home, and his eyes don't look real. And I'm like, coming on really strong. This is not Drake, okay? You're coming along really strong. Like, if this was Drake, I get it, but this ain't Drake. This is just Rob. No woman would come on that strong, right?
Yeah, exactly. She acted like so thirsty about it, and no woman would be thirsty about it. They like the catch, right? They like the game. Well, I'm not saying all women, but majority of them like to play the game and like leave it in the hands of the guy. If you're gonna hit on me, if you're gonna but it was just tips and whatever 2 seconds. And you can get from TLC.
Like, reciprocated. You're right. Women like to be hit on, and then they reciprocate it, right? Like, if anything, he would need to have hit on her first, and then the game would have went into motion. But the fact that he's, like, sitting here trying to be good, and these women are, like, all over him, I was like, this is so unbelievably ridiculous to me at this point. Like, it's been a full year, right? And Sophie and him don't live together. At this point, in my mind, they're divorced. You know, like, I know people, once you separate, you're not together anymore, right? Like, you're basically divorced. He's the only one hanging on to the thought that this is still his wife, right? Or am I the only one that thinks that? Like, I feel like she's fully moved on. She's fully in a relationship. She's living with somebody else. She doesn't call.
She's with Kay. She wanted to be like, I don't know what Sophie's problem was, because she was such a hypocrite. Like, oh, Rob's going out tonight. But then you're doing the same thing. It's his birthday. Like, gonna go out. He's in Kansas where he grew up. Like, obviously you're gonna go out with your friends that you haven't seen in like years, and what's your excuse for going out? Like, don't be a hypocrite about it. And then Kay was like, oh, drinks on me. Yeah, drinks on you, because you know what's gonna happen at the end of the night. Like, Sophie looks like a lightweight. That's what's gonna happen.
Yeah. It's I think it's interesting that she needed to showcase her worry of what he would be doing. I'm like, you're literally laid up in the house with another woman, right? Like, literally laid up. We saw them in the one scene earlier in the season in the bed together. Like, you're literally sleeping with another person, and you're like, hope he doesn't go and like talk to other girls. He has every right. He's basically single, exactly. Right? At this point, a whole year of her living with someone else and not dealing with him, he's single. He can go out and have an orgy if he really wants to, right? Like, who's stopping this guy, right? Like, he has nobody to answer to.
The light bulb finally went on in his head when he was first arriving to the hotel room, was like, oh yeah, she's with Kay. Like, well, finally, it took you a while to like catch up on that. Like, hello. Like, What was with his shirt in the car? It totally reminded me of like a 90s throwback, like all like Taste the Rainbow Skittles.
See, I've always said this on Twitter. I feel like Rob always dresses, what, how did I put it? He's always the most underdressed person in the room, right? Like, I feel like whatever he's wearing is so like Goodwill. I don't want to, I'm not trying to be mean, right? Like, I just feel like he doesn't dress the part. Like, he carries himself like he's sophisticated, but then his clothes give me like Kyle from Love in Paradise. Like just little colored shirts with little basketball shorts. It's just very interesting. So his style of dress is really crazy to me. And I always say it's weird that women let their men dress that way because every time I see Justin Bieber and his wife, the first thing that comes to my mind when they're out in public and he's dressed like a homeless man, I'm like, so your wife was totally cool with you leaving the house like that? Because like if I was married, I would expect my wife to say, hey, go back and get dressed. You look homeless and I'm not going anywhere with you like that. You know, so I'm like, it's just crazy to me the way he dresses because he carries himself at a certain level, but his style of dress doesn't match the level that he carries himself at.
Hello. Have you seen people leaving the house, like going to Walmart or going grocery store shopping in their PJs? Like,
I see it. I could never,
he did
I
dress
could,
appropriately when he went to the club, though.
he dressed. Yeah, he dressed accordingly. He dressed decent. He's not up to my standard, right? Like when I go out, I'm getting dressed like I'm going to the Grammys. Like when I go out, if I because I don't know if I'm gonna meet the person that I want to meet that day, right? So I have to be dressed to impress. You know, every now and then people will catch me out, and I literally rolled out of bed and went out, and then that's what I'm like. I got sunglasses on, a hat, praying to God no one sees me. Right? Like I'm just terrified of like that one person see me and it's over. I just can't. So when people go to the store dressed like they have been homeless for quite a while, I don't get it. Like I really don't. Like every single, and I'm not saying that you should wear your best clothes every day, but it's like life ain't promised. We might not be here next week. You know, like we don't know what's gonna, if you got something that you really love, it's your favorite shirt, wear that damn shirt, right? Like, 'cause you don't know what's gonna happen.
Exactly.
So Angela decided not to wear a bra in any of her confessionals tonight. Did you?
Have that written down. I literally have that written down. I'm like, oh, Angela, girl, please put a bra on. I know you understand. I understand you're in your PJs or whatever the heck that tan skin, fake skin thing was from AliExpress, but please put a bra on. No one wants to see that.
Was more than one outfit. She was also wearing. She was also wearing the shirt too, not just the tank top. It was more than one outfit. So I'm assuming maybe over in Africa, it's super hot, you know, and like bras were not ideal, you know.
Fan, that little like travel fan on the nightstand of the hotel. So yeah, but the room is, I would presume, with that heat would be air conditioned. Like, there's no reason you can't slap on a bra to
It
do an
was.
interview. Come on.
You're on national TV, right? Like, I was like, and then I'm not trying to get like ridiculous with it, but like one boob was going up here and one is going the other direction. It was like a lot, okay? It was a lot. You know, I was like, this is a lot of Angela. I don't know if I signed up for this much Angela tonight, right? Like I don't know if I signed up for the subscription or what, but we got a lot of Angela tonight. And
Need the OF. We didn't need the OF. We saw
no, I didn't even sign up. I didn't put my credit card number in or anything, right? I didn't put my credit card number or anything. I was like, this is a lot. I'm seeing like and then they're not even facing the same direction. They were like going in different directions. I was like, see, that's a lot for me. So Angela said that since Michael said that he was lonely, she was ready to move forward with the project. But she said something interesting in the car. She was like, just because I'm able to move forward doesn't mean that I fully trust you. And that made me scratch my head because why would you bring somebody to another country that you don't trust? Because this is kind of where we're at with Ashley and Manuel. And Angela said it too tonight. She was like, this doesn't mean that I trust him, and it doesn't mean that I don't think there's shady stuff going on, but I'm still gonna bring him here. What's the thought process with that?
I don't know. I think the look on Angela's face when, like, when they're in bed and she said, like, she's like, oh, I'm not gonna cancel your visa. The look on her face still showed that I don't trust you. I even said that, like, she doesn't trust him, right? Still, and he's probably has to prove his trust. And I think she probably just brought him back to the U.S. to, like, prove herself, prove her kids, and prove her grandkids wrong. Like, look what I did. We came so far. Like, just stuff like just stuff like that. But the fact that they didn't have a screaming or a yelling match this time, I was like, oh my God, my ears. They're like, I can actually see and hear what's going on. Like, if there's no screaming or yelling or anything. They're actually having a rational discussion.
Well, Michael has always been rational, right? Like, we rarely ever see Michael screaming or acting crazy. It's usually just Angela. And I think that he realized in that moment that all this hard work, 7 years of hard work, can all be down the drain if she really does fly home and cancel the visa, right? Like, I feel like he really needed to tell her, like, look, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you don't trust me. Hey, bestie, love you. It's just interesting to me because when she said, like, oh, I don't know if I can ever trust him, if he can build that trust, I'm like, well, you're bringing him here. Like, that's like saying you're going to let somebody operate on you as, like, a surgeon, but you don't trust their abilities. You know, like, you're putting a lot of trust into someone you just don't trust. And that's crazy scary to me.
Yeah. I think it's to prove everyone wrong at this point in time that, like, oh, we had our ups and downs, but look what I did, basically, or look what we did together, right? Like, just trying to prove that she can build that foundation of, like, trust and, like, proving her kids wrong, right? Because she does seem like that type of person.
Yeah.
That, like, she wants to come up on top, like, not I'm better than you, but I look what I did, and I, like, and you guys had doubted me all this time, right? So she does seem like that type of person to kind of prove wrong.
You're right. She wants Skyla's face to be surprised. Yeah. You know, she's like, oh, well, look at her face. She'll never believe. But sometimes saying I told you so isn't always winning because we know where this is going, right? Like, she might not have known when this was filmed where this was going, but we know where this is going and it's not pretty, right? Like, we know what's going to happen.
I thought when she left him in the car and been like, give me 5 minutes. I thought that was like, he was going to run. He was like, just go somewhere else.
Right? He could have told the driver, like, take me anywhere. Right? Like, anywhere. Like, I am here. I am free. And no one ever rang the bell. Right? So it makes a lot of people said, oh, I don't think he originally wanted to scam her or whatever. So it's very possible that the story changed, you know, like maybe because I used to think, oh, his plan all along was to leave, you know, but maybe things happened along the way that swayed him in the direction of leaving her, right? Like, maybe it's possible that they loved each other. It's kind of hard to fathom, right? It's kind of hard to fathom in a normal, sane mind that they both loved each other, right? So I don't want to discredit the fact that they did or didn't. It's very possible that he started out 7 years ago that this is the woman he wanted to be with, right? It's possible.
Well, it's possible. Towards the like at the beginning, maybe he was just like, I'm gonna like and like scam this girl woman or whatnot, and then develop some sort of feelings towards her after the fact, right? But like, the poor man, patience is a virtue. And like, his USA jacket, as someone mentioned in the comments, it was just sorry. I'm surprised he didn't ask to go see Donald Trump. Because remember from years ago, she brought a Make America Great Again hat. So yeah, I'm surprised he didn't.
Well, that was the conversation on Twitter. On Twitter, people thought it was weird that he wasn't wearing like a Trump hat or shirt, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's very possible he would have, but I do think that TLC, because of all of the drama going on with the election and stuff right now and Trump and Biden, they probably didn't want to put any side of it on there, because I'm pretty sure, I know for a fact Michael loves Donald Trump. Yeah. So I know he would have worn something, but I think TLC as a network was like, let's not get on either side of that debate, right? So they probably approved the American flag jacket because that's pretty neutral, right? Like, you're just an American, right? You don't have to pick a side. Because I know for a fact he was wearing the Trump hat in a few seasons ago.
Yeah.
You know, he definitely loves Donald Trump. He said his dream was to meet him, you know, and like you said, I'm surprised that she didn't take him straight to a Trump rally, right? Like, that would have been his first thing that he wanted to do. But I think TLC was like, yeah, based on the feeling, the mood and vibe right now with politics, we're going to let that slide. You know, like, we're not going to get into that. Oh, so I want to talk about Lauren and Alexi, right? Because we finally saw Lauren where she looked less like an elderly person. She's fully healed. and she's trying on dresses, and lo and behold, the body dysmorphia that she was suffering from was not cured by surgery, which everybody and their mom, literally her mom, tried to tell her that. They were like, look, the issues that you're having and what you're seeing in the mirror, that's in your mind, because we see a beautiful woman, even her husband. He's like, I see a beautiful woman. I don't think you need to do anything. And those issues are still there. And she, it's interesting because she wanted to make sure that Alexi approved of her body, which was stupid to me because he told her before all this, he thought she was perfect the way she was. And it's making me think that it's maybe more deeply rooted than we thought. Like, she's seeking approval from Alexi when he already gave it to her. And she already feels like, you know, like this surgery didn't help. I thought she looked great. But to be 100% honest with you, like, being realistic, I didn't see a real big difference between before and after. Did you?
Nope, neither did I. I personally think that she just wants the attention and the acceptance about, like, within her, like, in her circle. Like, oh, you look great. You look fabulous, just to boost her confidence and her ego. But that's just me. But she's still not happy. And they say that, like, surgeries such as that one and tattoos are very addicting.
Yeah.
So she might just go at it again and again and again until she finally found a realization, like, okay, now I'm perfect. Like, we're all created differently and we're all created in certain ways. And some people have an issue with that, that they're not perfect and they just have to work on themselves and their confidence. But I really do think she maybe needs to talk to somebody about it, not to be judgy, but just to talk about her insecurities that she has, because she's married, she has a wonderful family, like, wonderful kids and whatnot, and there's nothing physically wrong with her. I think it's something more emotional.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Like, I think that, and it also, I noticed some erratic decisions too, because she brought up tonight, she was like, oh, I don't want to just be a mom. I want to have a job too. And it's like, she makes really erratic decisions. Like, she, like, I felt like the surgery in itself was really erratic and it seemed unplanned, you know, because she kind of sprung it on everyone. And then she sprung this work, going back to work thing on Alexi. And don't get me wrong, I believe that women can be so much more than a wife or a mother or a sister. You know, you can do amazing things. Some of the biggest corporations in the world are head by women, you know, and their mothers, their wives, they do many, many different things. But it's just interesting that she keeps dropping bomb after bomb on Alexi. And it's like, you have three tiny babies, right? Like, she doesn't have, like, teenagers. She got three tiny babies and Alexi's working. Who's going to be raising these babies? You know, like, I know that their parents are helping as much as possible, but, you know, I'm anti-daycare. Like, I watch the news, right? Okay. So, like, I know that there's such weird people out there. So, like, I'm super anti-daycare. So, it's like, I know that she wants to revive her career, but maybe, possibly, when they start going to school, maybe wait a little while, because I'm not saying that schools are any safer, right? Like, for real. But at least in schools, they're fingerprinted and everything. You get a little bit better picture of what's going on, you know? My mom is a retired teacher and principal. Oh, yeah, you got to get fingerprinted. You do, like, FBI checks. Like, they do all that. I'm not saying that crazy people can't pass these checks. You know, I'm not saying that this is going to give you any more security. I think having a child and being a parent, especially being a mother in these ages and times, is a scary place, because I feel like you can't trust anyone but yourself these days. And I think being a mom, I've seen, you know, these horrible things on the news and these heartbroken, sad mothers who trusted people that they should be able to trust who did terrible things. So I just think that she makes erratic decisions. It's like, you want to go back to work. I totally respect that. There's nothing wrong with being a working mom, but those babies need, like Alexi said, those babies need you right now. You know, like, they need you right now.
To go back to work because she's bored and tired. She's just over exhausted, and it would probably just be a scapegoat or an excuse to be like, well, I'm working too, right? Like, you can make dinner, like, when you get home, because I'm at work or whatnot. So it just bears less responsibility on her, where she might be, like, putting the responsibility on either Alexi or her parents or somebody else, basically, because she's bored and going crazy. Not
that's literally, actually literally,
but like she's just bored being that full-time mom, like that
Yeah.
hat 24/7, basically.
I think that's an interesting analyzation because maybe the break that she got from the surgery made her realize she doesn't like the chaos of being a full-time mom, you know, because she described it to us at the beginning of the season as just organized chaos, you know, just cleaning, cooking, constantly doing things, never having a moment to herself. And maybe this time off from the surgery, she realized, hey, I like this better. I can be more productive. I could go to work. I could earn money, which I respect that too. But it's like somebody, those babies need somebody to be looking after them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know, especially at that age. I remember my one friend, she had her first baby and we were talking and she was like, I didn't realize how difficult it was. And she was like, being a mom is like a 24/7 job of trying to make sure your baby doesn't hurt itself. Like, they're always, you have to cover outlets. You have to make sure there's nothing sharp. Like, babies, they're so curious that everything is a weapon and a danger to them. So you literally can't look away. Like, how many times have we heard a story in the news where someone looked away for 5 seconds and something horrible happened, right? Like, you have to always be on when you have a little baby.
And they're so close in age that there's like not enough like the oldest one can't really like kind of watch over the younger ones type of thing. They're so close in
Yeah.
age, basically her where like if you have a huge bigger age gap where okay the oldest can kind of entertain the younger ones while like go take a quick shower, go grab something quickly to eat or make lunch. But no, it's like the hat's on 24/7 basically because they're so close in age still and
Yeah, that would help too. Having that child, the older one that can help you with things, it makes a lot of difference. That's I didn't understand the difference in ages until my mom had me like 6 or 7 years after the rest of the kids. And I was like, why'd you have me so young? And she was like, so they can help me. She's like, it's easier when you have teenagers and then you have a baby, you got people that can help you. She was like, it's just too much work because my brother and sister are 11 months apart. So she was in the same boat as Lauren, right? Like, she literally, one can't take care of the other. You just got to have one on each arm, right? There's no help. There's no. And what if one's sleeping, one's awake, if one's hungry, one's not, one needs to be changed, the other one doesn't. Like, there's no break. It's always constant.
My brothers and I are like a 10 and 12 year age gap, so they're in their
Oh, see, that's great. You know, your mom had a break. She had help. She had a babysitter that she didn't have to pay $25 an hour. Like, that, there's so many.
$5 an hour. So in the 80s, it wasn't $25 an hour,
Yeah.
right? So,
Yeah, right? Like, now babysitters are like making PhD pay. It's crazy, right? Like, this whole thing, that's a whole nother subject, though. But I want to talk about Ashley and Manuel because Ashley is finally getting to the point where she realizes that Manuel is probably scamming her. It's funny because we've been here since episode 3. You know, welcome to reality, Ashley. Welcome to where we've been all along. Like, we can see this, and now she found out that he was talking to his kid's mom, which shouldn't really be a shock, you know, because if you have kids, though, you have to talk to the parent whether you like each other or not. And he,
if she would know that he's talking to his baby mama. Like, hello. Like, you have to keep the lines of communication open when you have children or when you have young children and you're sending money. You have to keep that lines of communication open. You can't cut and like cut them off, basically. Cut the mother off because I've started a new life. No, you cannot do that. Like, that was part of your past for a reason. I get that. At the end of the day, she was a psychic. She would have already known that.
Oh,
As we've
see,
all And before.
TJ, that's a good question. TJ said in the comments, why doesn't she ever ask how his kids are or if they need anything? I've wondered that too, because let's be real. She said that she's known Manuel for 10 years. Now that this has aired, it's been almost 12. Now, it would be very strange to me for me to know someone for over a decade and not have some sort of relationship with their family, their immediate family, right? Like, it would be really weird to me if y'all are dating and you don't have at least a conversation. Like, she should know when their birthdays are. She should send them something because you're basically gonna be their stepmother. You should wanna open that door to get to know them. So it's really interesting. She pretends like they don't exist, which I think might be easier for her. Like, I don't think she wanted to be with a guy that had kids. Like, that's just my first inclination when I see Ashley. I don't think that her first choice was to be with a guy who had children, especially teenagers. But ignoring it isn't gonna make it go away, right? And not getting to know them is only going to make things worse because now you're wondering what's going on. And it's like, I guess she's upset that he's withholding information from her, but it's been 10 years and you don't know anything about him. You know, like, what are the odds that you know somebody for a decade and you get married and you're like, oh, I don't know anything about them. I feel like you should think about it. If you get a job, this company is going to want to know everything about you for like the past 5, 7, 10 years. They're going to want to know your addresses, your name, aliases, criminal background, employment background, references. They want to know everything about you. And that's just for a job. Imagine you're marrying somebody and moving them into your house and you don't know any information on them at all. That's kind of like how the episodes of Dateline NBC start, right? Like, you don't know who you're moving in. That's crazy to me.
Manuel doesn't tell her anything, and she just, whenever they have a fight, she just takes them to the back and does whatever she wants. They do whatever they want, and that's how they hash out their arguments, rather than talking like civilized people about it and being mature adults about it. He doesn't tell her anything. So, like, oh, like, yeah, he's a private person. He's a private person. Yeah, he ain't telling you. And like Cara and Didi have said before in the past, he's keeping that money, putting it under his family's bed for when he can be like, get his green card and get the freak out.
Also, TJ says, I have a lot of Spanish people in my family and they send money every month to help support the family. No, I see, I'm not questioning whether or not that's a process. I know for a fact that in Spanish background, you know, if, especially if you're a man, you are obligated to help your family. And actually in Samoan culture, there's so many different cultures where this is a real thing. Like, I don't question whether or not he wants to help his family. I question what his other motives are, right? Like, she said that she gave him $1,000. The $1,000 was gone, and immediately he needed 300 more. In Ecuador, $1,000 would be enough to pay rent for like a year. So I think that he's got other things going on. Like, I think that he is helping his family, but he's helping himself too. That's just what I think.
Yeah, like when I go to Europe or when I go to Portugal to visit family, like, we don't send them money monthly just because, like, my mom doesn't have her parents, the same with my dad, but like with my cousins and stuff like that, we give them money when we're there. We'll be like, here, and it's in euros. So we're like, here, right? Like, have money, right? Like, you know, like, so it's not a monthly thing because we're not supporting them, right? Like, monthly, unless it's needed for whatever emergency reasons. But like, we don't send money monthly because it would just be too expensive and they would have it complicated to go to Money Mart or whatnot, or Western Union to pick up that, those funds, right? It's not anywhere nearby. So, basically pretty, like, it's pretty much a standard, like, when I go back or when anyone goes back and I'm not going back, my parents will always provide some money for my cousins, regardless.
Well, see, I think that Manuel's family is a scapegoat for what he's trying to do. Like, I think that he is, like, don't get me wrong, I think he's sending something over there, right? I don't believe that he's not sending them anything because he has kids over there. I think that, say, for instance, if she gives him $500, he sends, like, $100 over there and then he keeps the rest. Like, that's just, I just feel like there's something else going on. Remember when...
He's piggy banking it. He puts the rest someplace, this somewhere, or put it into somewhere that has, like, no one's going to touch it. And they have a savings account, and that savings account is building interest, so he can, like, take it and go, right? But where is this magic money coming from? That's what I like to know,
that was a whole thing, too, because we know that Ashley is self-employed as a witch. I guess she graduated from the Harry Potter School of Wizardry. She's a witch, and she has her own website, and that's where she makes all of her income, which I think is insane, because... I'm sorry, I'm not paying her for her advice. No offense, Ashley, you might be a great person, but I'm not paying you for you to tell me how to live my life when I'm watching you live yours wrong, okay? Like, I'm not gonna pay you to tell me what I should be doing when I'm watching you get scammed by a guy who's not even trying that hard. Like, Manuel isn't even trying that hard. He's just basically, he doesn't even tolerate her anymore. You know, even when she questions him, he just laughs at her. Hi, PRV. He literally just laughs at her and he's like, I don't care, you know, how you feel. And he just calls her loco, right? He's just like, you're loco, you're insane, you're unstable. And he brushes it off as though she's the problem and she just lets it continue. And I tell people all along, the longer you let something go on, the harder it is for you to get out of it. And I feel like Ashley has let this behavior of Manuel and her giving him money and not knowing what's going on with the money, not knowing what he's up to. She's let it go on for so long. Now I feel like he doesn't need to tell her now. And it will be impossible for her to find out. Like, I think Jonathan or other people are going to have to tell her because he's gotten away with it for so long. He's just never going to tell her what he's doing.
I just want to address one of the comments. I didn't mean at all to compare Central and South America to Europe. Obviously, the standards of living is very different. I know that. For someone who's traveled to Mexico, I just think it's more like a Latin culture type of thing like that. It's very cultural. Where we send money back home, right? It's not like we don't send money. I just wanted to address that. So it's a cultural thing to send money back home. So that's all I'm saying. Yeah. Obviously, standards are very different compared from, it's like the sun and the moon, apples to oranges. It's very different.
Oh yeah. So, I want to talk about Patrick and Thais. So they went back to the place where they had their first date. And we saw Patrick crying on this episode, which is really weird because he's such a big guy, right? Like, Patrick is like this massive bodybuilder. And it's interesting to watch him get emotional because he's not an emotional person. But we got a little insight on this apartment, right? Because nobody understood why he wouldn't give up this stupid apartment, right? And he's like, oh, it's just a couple thousand a year or whatever, I don't care. And even John said, you know, you're wasting money. Thais is like, get rid of it. And he was like, look, that apartment was the beginning of my relationship with my father. And he told us a little bit more on that tonight, where his father was a truck driver. And when he left the last time, when he was in the US, he didn't see him for 5 years straight. No communication, no nothing. And then when he got this apartment for him and Thais, when they were dating, that was kind of where him and his dad started working on the apartment, spending time together, building their relationship. And we got a little insight on that. And I kind of felt bad for Patrick, right? Because I feel like we look at Patrick like this big, huge bodybuilder guy who's doing okay. And it's interesting to see how vulnerable, you know, people are and what they're really going through inside. I felt terrible. And even Thais, she's like, I've never seen him cry like this. Like, this is pretty serious. And I think they're basically finally on the right track to communicating with each other, right? Like, she's listening to him and understanding they're not just yelling at each other and saying words at each other. Because she actually went into why she wants her dad and Patrick to talk more and build a bond. And she does eventually want her dad to bless the relationship, not necessarily bless the wedding or give a blessing, but she wants him to say, hey, I like this guy for you. And I kind of understand that a little more because the blessing thing sounded ridiculous to me because they're married for 2.5 years and have a baby. So this is stupid, but I do understand for somebody who is close with her dad, why it would be important for her dad to say, I like this guy for you. I totally get that.
I think Patrick could be a little bit, not envious or jealous of the relationship that she has with, Thais has with her dad. But at the end of the day, like, he finally broke down his emotions, and something that we knew from the start, and we can presume when it first started, why does he have this relationship with his dad? We basically said it, like, he has these like daddy issues like that aren't resolved, and that's why he keeps everything or goes above and beyond for his dad because of that. And we knew that from the start, just everybody else didn't know because he wasn't showing those emotions, those raw livid emotions, because he does present himself to be a very like macho type of person, like could have a heart of gold, right? But he does present himself to be in a shape and form of I'm a strong person, right? So, and that's what he wanted his family to see and Thais to see, right? But eventually you'll have to break down, and I'm glad you saw that side of him, right?
Yeah.
So as we're asking for the blessing again, like that stuff is just gonna take time. And just seeing what's upcoming for the next episode, like, her dad's not making any effort at all. Like, nope, we're not going to do that. Nope, right? But she also needs to, like, stick up for her family right now, like, with John and Patrick, like, with Patrick and her baby, like, and her friends and her dad. Like she needs to take some accountability of her actions and what she did. At the same time, at the end of the day.
Yeah, you nailed it. I think that she's always zipping her lips and pretending like she's not the center of some of these problems. You nailed it. Her silence has caused a lot of problems that could have been addressed and handled if she just would have spoke up. She didn't speak up for Patrick in the beginning, and now it's causing all these issues with her dad now. Like, she's the creator of some of these problems. So when she puts the problems on John, she puts the problems on Patrick, it's ridiculous. Like, you not speaking up is kind of where all of this stuff originated. So you're right, you nailed it. She needs to take a little bit more responsibility for how they got here. You know, like, you know how you get in the car and y'all end up somewhere? You were driving. You know, like, this is how you got here. You know, you got to take a little bit of responsibility, and you need to have a conversation with your dad. And I kind of feel like she's scared to talk to her dad, which is really weird to me because she said how close they were and how their relationship was. And I feel like I don't get that closeness. She never wants to have a conversation with him. She's terrified of, you know, his reaction. And it's like, that's not close. Like, if I'm close with someone, we can have weird conversations and I'm not afraid of being judged or being attacked or how the situation is going to turn out. So I feel like it may be in their culture, being close with your parent is more so being submissive to your parent, like just not doing anything that they don't approve of. Because I know for a fact, when I was growing up, we were in a religious cult and I couldn't do a lot of stuff. So I used to think I was really close with my mom, but it was more so that I wanted my mom's approval. So I always followed the rules and we got along really well because of that. So there's a difference between being close and being submissive, right?
Yeah, like, I think it's with Brazilian and Portuguese and Latin culture, we're always trying to, like, do our best, like you said, like, and very submissive, very respectful, very, like, yeah, there's no talking back, there's none of this, just going above and beyond, like, all means to make our parents or our guardians happy and content. So, yeah, I think it's a cultural thing, really, because or else there's going to be a lot of judgment and resentment. So at the end of the day, like, my dad and I, we get along great, but at times we don't get along so great. And we're like, because we're so alike, we're like, yeah, sometimes we just get into the arguments and that's it. So there's no turning back from what we say. And like, I think at the end of the day, she's afraid that she might, whatever she has to say or whatever he has to tell her will come out negative, like very negative, and will hurt each other's feelings. And that's what we don't like. That's basically culturally what we don't want either.
Exactly. Exactly. Cause I would withhold information from my mom because I know it will make her upset. Not because I don't want her to know, hey, Jamie, love you too. Not that I don't want her to know, but I know that culturally how, you know, she's still a part of the cult that I was raised in. So I know some things I don't want to tell my mom because I don't want her to be disappointed in me.
Exactly.
Even though I'm a grown adult man who can make his own decisions, right? Like, I just don't, we have that weird cultural thing where we want our parents to approve of us, even no matter how old we are. We just don't want them to be upset or disappointed. So it's like, I totally understand that. And it's probably even harder with, you know, Brazilian culture, you know, growing up where there's a lot more respect for your elders. Somebody, I think TJ said that earlier in the comments. You respect your parents. You respect people older than you. You respect the older family members. We have that in the U.S., but not, you know, there's people who talk pretty wild to their mom, dad, and cousins, you know, so we don't have it to that point, you know, to that extent. And I wish that we did. Wait, Jamie, is it your birthday? Happy birthday, Jamie. I didn't know that we were such close. I didn't know we were so close. Mine was on Friday. And Gina, when is your birthday?
It was yesterday.
Oh my God, we almost have the same birthday. Happy birthday to you, Gina. Happy birthday to Jamie as well. All my friends have close birthdays. We're gonna have to all get together one year, right? We're gonna have to all get together and do something.
Yeah, but Dee Dee won't be on a plane.
Well, Dee Dee's pretty close to me. She can drive to where I am. So it's very possible we could still all get together. Oh, before we go.
I'm in Canada. I'm on the West Coast.
Oh, you're in Canada. Oh, wow. You fly though, right? You fly.
Oh, to get to Florida, I would have to fly.
Yeah, you fly. We'll have to plan something. I want to do something big anyway soon. So, but before we go, I want to talk about Emily and Kobe's wedding. That's the last thing we're going to talk about. Then we're going to end this. But yeah, Dee Dee did promise to get on a plane oh, she promised for you to get on a plane one day and you did for her to get on a boat. Oh, so we're going to just blackmail her from that promise and we're going to get her on a plane. See, I didn't know that, TJ. So yeah, we're going to get Dee Dee out here so we can all celebrate. Have a big June party, June birthday party. Oh, you have to try a Brazilian steakhouse. Yes. Oh my God.
Oh God.
Jay Kuzi. I saw that tonight. I've never been to a restaurant where they just walk around with meat and let you cut pieces of meat off of it. That looks amazing. Do they serve sides or is this just like a meat thing? Because I didn't see anything else.
They serve sides like salad and desserts and stuff like that. So at least here they have two restaurants similar to that where it's like kind of self-serve, like for the salad and some dessert and stuff like that. But for the meat, they come to your table and tell you what the meat is and whether you want it or not. That's... But in the States, it's different. I'll let Jay Queasy answer that. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm like obsessed. I love that. Like I love different types of meats. So I didn't know that, you know, I go to steakhouses and, you know, they have something where you can go and you can like request different cuts of meats at steakhouses or whatever. You like go up to like this meat bar, I don't know what you call it, and you can like ask for different cuts. I didn't realize that you could just sit down and people bring meat to you. Like, I feel like a king, right? Like, that's amazing.
Too, I'm not sure if in the States they have some exotic meat too that you wouldn't normally get at a steakhouse either. So, yeah.
Oh, see, I'm not all that adventurous, like, eating. Like, I'm not all, like, adventurous like that. Like, I've never had oysters. I've never had lamb. Like, I'm not, like, really adventurous. But, like, if you don't tell me what it is, I'll probably try it, right? Like, I tell people all the time, don't tell me what it is. Just let me eat it, and then we'll talk about it later. Because if you tell me what it is, I probably won't put it in my mouth. Oh, so I want to talk about Emily and Kobe real quick. So Valerie showed up and he did give his blessing after a really long drawn out speech, right? And but he did give his blessing for the wedding, which I thought was nice, you know, because just because you're close with someone or they're your friend, you don't have to agree or support what they're doing, but you can still love them, you know. And I learned this actually from friends and family of friends who had like kids or family members who were addicted to things like drugs or whatever. And I was like, I noticed the level of love that they still had for that person, even though they didn't support what they were doing, they didn't want them doing it, they would have done everything to try to stop it, they never stopped loving them. And I love the fact that as humans, we can love people no matter what they do, right? And I think that that's really important. And I saw him, his friend show up, he was gonna skip the wedding and he showed up and he's like, look, I didn't think this white woman was good for you or whatever. And he's like, but you know what? I think she's going to be a good wife to you. And it's like, yeah, I don't like the verbiage of how they talk about different races over there. But, you know, you have to remember over there, you don't see a lot of people that don't look like you, you know? So it's a lot different from in America. Every day you leave the house, you see so many people that don't look like you. So it's not the same, but I just thought that it was really nice to see different cultures and, you know, Americans from Kansas heading over to Africa and embracing the culture. And then the wedding ceremony was beautiful. I put on Twitter, I was like, this was the most wholesome and classy thing we got all season. Everything else has been pretty classless, right? This is the most classy thing we got all season.
It was kind of, it was blending like both countries together in Cameroon, which was great because you get to see some Cameroonian culture, like put in some a dash of French culture in there because they speak French, put in a dash of American culture. So I did see it as I like that speech was, you can tell it was heartfelt, I hope, but could be for the cameras as well. But you can tell it was coming from a good place, like, and they sucked up his pride and was just like, he's basically, he's already married with kids, like what are we gonna do, like, you know, move on.
Well, right, either you support it or you don't. At this point, they're married, they got kids, they got three beautiful babies, they from what I heard, they might not be done, there might be another baby too. So your best friend, I forget his name, their son's name, are you talking about Kobe? Yeah, Kobe's son's name is Atum. Wait, is Kobe's middle name also Atum? I did not know that specifically. My best friend, if that were who you're talking about. I have lots of best friends, but I'm not sure you're talking about Judy, but yeah, I thought that that was a really good scene. I was happy with that. So this was episode 16. I think we have three more.
Oh, Lord, to go. Lord, take the wheel.
Yeah. And then we're going to get the tell-all. And I don't know if you know about the tell-all, but they're going to be all in a house for one night together the night before. Do they live on their own now? No, as far no, they still live in the basement of Lisa and David's home, in Emily's parents' house. And last time I checked, they said that the parents don't want them to leave, and Kobe's working, and they're just banking money. So I was like, y'all should just save up and buy a house, and you know, as long as
a house. Didn't they eventually save up and bought a house not too far from their parents' house? I thought I saw that somewhere, or allegedly, or supposedly.
Oh, maybe it's gonna be announced on the show or something, because they hadn't said anything. I don't see nothing wrong with that. You know, like there are some cultures, like in India, the children live with the parents forever. You know, and nobody, they want it that way. And I looked at it as, if Lisa and David want it that way, who are we to say that they can't live that way? You know? Oh, Judy says that they did move out. Okay, so maybe that's going to happen on the show, because they haven't shown pictures or anything of the new house, which is interesting. So maybe they have to wait it out. All right, so that's going to wrap up this episode. We're going to come back and talk about MILF Manor and Love in Paris. Wait, Love in Paris is over. No, we're going to come back and talk about MILF Manor and The Other Way, which premieres tomorrow, which I'm kind of excited about. So, new couples, as well as Shekinah and Sarper and Statler and Dempsey. So we're going to be watching that tomorrow night. On Monday night, it's normal night, and we're going to get into that. So I'm excited because, I mean, Happily Ever After can get really redundant with the same people. We've been watching these people for so long. So it's nice to get some new crazy stories out there, you know?
Blood. I like having new people, new faces, not watching anything on repeat. But I guess we'll have to fast forward, or like you say all the time, I'll just go get a drink while like other cast members, yeah, like MJ or whatever on there, go get a drink.
Yeah. Drink refill time. All right, guys. So thanks for joining us. Thank you so much to Gina for joining me tonight. Like I said, Dee Dee is out of town until Tuesday, so she will be back. Kara is waiting on the power and electricity back in her area. There's a horrible fire in her area. She is fine. Blessings to her. I'm so happy that she is good. Thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. Everybody, thanks, have a wonderful night.
I just said thanks, everyone. Have a great... Tomorrow is Canada Day, so like our 4th of July. So everyone have a great day.
Happy Canada Day.
Happy
4th of July. Happy Canada Day. Okay, make sure you're following Gina. I'm going to tag her in this video. Follow me on all social media platforms at George Massey, georgemassey.com. Anywhere you get your podcast, type in the George Massey Show on all streaming platforms. Thank you guys for joining us. Everybody have a wonderful night. Bye.
Bye. Bye.